Ahoy hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, where our motto is Bless the Wives. I'm your host for this, Bob Mackey, and today we're going to be talking about Homer's Night Out, a season one episode which aired on March 25th, 1990. And before we get started, Chris, what the hell happened on this historic date in history?
Oh boy, Bobby.
That's right. The Bourne Ultimatum sits atop the best-selling books list. ABC airs the two-hour premiere of a little show called Twin Peaks, and Billy Crystal hosts the Billy Crystal hosts the 62nd annual Academy Awards, where Driving Miss Daisy takes home Best Picture. Denzel Washington wins his first Oscar, and Under the Sea devastates the competition for Best Song.
Wow.
So Simpsons is slightly older than Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm.
And this Under the Sea song would be parodied 6 years later.
I think they were technically both mid-season shows in 1990. Yeah. They like kicked off the 90s.
Good coffee.
Yeah.
And what is this episode about?
This episode is about Homer being disgraced and having to make it up to Marge. And it's actually based on a Rob Lowe sex scandal from 1988.
Oh, wow.
I'll tell you what happened. I had no idea. I loosely knew about this because I was like four when it happened.
I found out about this recently. The details are shocking.
I saw clips of it on an HBO special.
I think it was completely released, right? I mean, we're in the age of sex tapes now, but what happened was Rob Lowe was campaigning for Dukakis, of all people. The night before the Democratic National Convention, he videotapes himself having sex with a 16-year-old girl.
Legal in Georgia.
It's legal in Georgia, but still frowned upon.
Yes.
And a 22-year-old girl, and that was the scandal. He bounced back from it. He was only 24 at the time.
I think that's I don't know. I love the idea that somebody can bounce back from that kind of public humiliation. And Rob Lowe's a good example because you probably know who he is and you have no idea this happened.
He's a devastatingly handsome man.
He is.
I can say that.
But he's also apparently a super nice dude.
Extremely charming, and everybody likes him. And yeah, it's like, yeah, he had sex. Though the 16-year-old part is like, ew.
I'm tugging on my collar a little bit. Like,
It happens. It can happen to me, but it can happen to a 24-year-old Rob Lowe.
I can see that.
Megan, legal where he was.
I mean, 20-year-olds look like children to me now.
Yes. That's why I wouldn't want to be with a 16-year-old, because they would look 12 to me now. I'd be like, Jesus.
We just have nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
That too. It's like with our audience when we make references to things on this Simpsons show. They're like, I don't know.
Speaking of being dated, like, this is, I love this episode in that it is literally a photo going viral with no internet.
I was going to say, it's about a meme.
Yes.
This episode is about a meme. And
it's kind of a historical document in that way, in that it just shows you, like, here's how things went viral before there was the internet.
Yeah, like, I remember my mom, like, getting funny joke faxes and bringing them home, like, I have PMS on every day that ends with a Y, and it was like a cat with a gun or something.
And I love, how did I title these? I love how this episode starts off. Is this the one where Homer thinks he's all fat and stuff?
So when he's 239, which has been his...
239 pounds. Oh, I'm a blimp. Why are all the good things so tasty?
Now, that has been his canonical weight, I think. Like, when he starts it in King Size Homer, he starts at 239.
Oh, wow. That's right, yeah.
And in the Marge painting pictures of Ringo Starr, I think he gets down to 239 by the end of the episode.
I don't think 239 is like a high enough number for how Homer is drawn.
I kind of wish I was 239 right now, to be honest. I was like, boy.
I am over that for the first time in my life. Yeah.
You have more muscle mass than me, then, I guess.
I wear my fat well, but I am supremely overweight.
But I do think 26 years ago, when they wrote the episode, 239 was an overweight.
It was morbidly obese.
It was pre-supersized.
America is so fucking fat now compared to even 1990.
I love saying this. I've said it a billion times before. If you think America doesn't have an obesity problem, I can solve this for you very fast. Google Disneyland 2014. And then Google Disneyland 1970. And then when you see any picture of Disneyland, there are no fat people.
Way more Rascal Scooters.
Any picture of a Disneyland crowd is a fat person and a rascal.
Yeah.
Disney World specifically. I'm talking about Florida people. The problem's the biggest.
So I think the opening of this episode is a really smart kind of, like, it feels like a season two thing you think of, because it's a smart device of the 6 month time jump and how everybody, like, forgets what they said 6 months ago. Also, I made the note that $1.99 for a spy camera is a damn good price.
That's pretty good.
Okay, so the spy camera is very near and dear to me for a lot of reasons. That's
your Twitter background.
It's the joke itself. Because I'm a kid. I'm watching this with kid eyes. I am loving The Simpsons, but not for the same reasons I do as an adult. This joke to me was comedy gold.
Oh, it's female the female man.
Female carrier bark.
Love this joke.
Lady, where's my spy camera? Where's my spy camera?
Here's your stupid spy camera.
Oh. Thanks, man.
Slam.
Slam. And so not only that, okay. By the way, Bart taking a picture of his own butt with the spy camera has been my Twitter background for over a year.
I love it.
I can't take it down. I like Lisa's expression too much. And it is a GoPro. It just looks like a GoPro.
I was thinking it's essentially like an iPhone has 3,000 times the functionality of Bart's spy camera, and we all have them now.
That's another date with Bart going into a dark room.
I wrote that as a note. Like, kids, this was when you had to wait for photographs to develop. You take a picture, and you wouldn't know what it looked like until... I think we all took pictures of our eyes at least once, like Bart did in it.
And he had to find people that could develop the film with him or for him, right? Like the photo club or whatever.
And we talked about the interplay between Jock and Marge in the last episode, the fast, smooth, smooth. This has one of a similar joke with Bart and Milhouse.
Mom, Bart, you're going to make me a print, aren't you?
Will you swear not to let another living soul get a copy of this photo?
Okay.
Crush your heart and hope to die?
Yep.
Stick a needle in your eye?
Yep.
Jam a dagger in your thigh?
Yep.
Eat a horse manure pie?
Yep.
Well, okay.
I love it. Love it.
Also, I made a note for that scene that Milhouse, at the start of that scene, I was like, Milhouse should be a member of this, and he's not. And then Milhouse just shows up. I'm like, did Milhouse just walk into the dark room?
It could have been anywhere.
Was he just standing in the corner?
Is this the first appearance of the Rusty Barnacle?
I think so,
I don't think it appeared all that much, but it is.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the Frying Dutchman.
Yeah, this is not the Frying Dutchman. Yeah, Rusty Barnacle and Frying Dutchman, different places. Maybe the captain, the sea captain, bought the Rusty Barnacle and renamed it to the Frying Dutchman.
I think they never went back there because there was no sea captain. After the sea captain came around, then
So,
and then that's what happens. Homer goes to a bachelor party, and then Bart ends up snapping a picture with him dancing with a stripper.
Well, okay, that's a question. I think Princess Cashmere, they hired her to be a belly dancer who you could put money in her G-string, but there was not the expectation of her getting topless.
So
that's what I thought Princess Cashmere was.
I just rewatched the Bette episode of Seinfeld. Just watching that, I was definitely more aware of the world around me at that point. How far they go to not say that, like, to really reference masturbation. It is fucking hidden. This is a stripper.
I remember, the Flintstones,
it was too much for
dancing
television.
Girls. Yeah. And it was they're strippers, right?
Later in the episode, they're literally going
to strip clubs to hunt her down.
Including one called Close Encounters of the Mud Kind. That's the one I wrote down.
But in
terms of clippage, I just want to get this out of the way.
Okay.
They go to the Rusty Barnacle. It's a bachelor party.
For Eugene, who never came back again.
Carl, who is there?
Carl Carlson is there, first appearance.
Carl Carlson and Lenny, and neither of their voices are correct.
Lenny's voice fucking changes.
Yeah. Lenny's voice changes twice into, here's not Lenny or Carl.
I see you, the one thing that matters most to me in the whole
Lenny
world,
or Carl.
Married tomorrow.
It's Eugene's dad.
I'm going to know just how you felt that day.
I love you, Dad.
I love you, son.
Where am I, the planet Cornball?
Hey, don't worry. Things are going to pick up once the entertainment gets here.
Ooh, entertainment.
Yes, sir.
Carl?
That's Carl.
They gave every black guy a Flanders voice.
Yeah, he has
season.
A Flanders voice. But even worse is the voice, I think, accidentally given to Lenny.
Yes.
You'll hear it at the end of this clip.
Okay, Eugene.
This is Carl.
One last taste of bachelor freedom.
I like how the guys do that dance.
Princess Cashmere. Hold
on, you talked over it.
Presenting Princess Cashmere.
Oh, it's Mo.
And it's Lenny.
Of the mysterious East.
I wrote that down too. Like Lenny becomes
talking.
Mo briefly.
Jeez.
I think they forgot what his voice was.
I do like the interplay between Eugene Fisk and his dad, where they're way too wholesome for The Simpsons, like the show.
They can't take it.
Yeah, my line of the show, I mean, we don't have to do it now, but it is, how do I tell you this, my boy? We're in hell.
I don't have that one.
It's great. It just, they can't stand, like, the cigarette smoke and the drinking and the stripping.
That was one of the most dated things to me of, like, not just that, oh, we're at a stag party, everybody's smoking cigars, but just a portrayal of smoking on television in a positive way, but just in a neutral-ish way.
Like, of course they'd be smoking.
Yeah, there's a bunch of men here. Why wouldn't they be
smoking?
There's
no commentary or anything.
Yeah, I know.
I have the saddest line of the show. I'll just
get
it right
time
now.
For line of the show? Because I had a couple, too.
That's
the joke.
You look familiar, sir. Are you on the television or something?
Sorry, buddy. You got me confused with Fred Flintstone.
And like, I
is that the first Apu?
No, that's not the first Apu.
When was he before this?
He was. Did we do? Is Krusty Gets Busted
Krusty
before or
is
after,
after
this?
This. After this.
Okay,
we recorded it before this behind the scenes talking.
God, I don't know. I know he showed up once more.
He did. He showed up before this.
Okay,
it was in the Telltale Head.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
they were
that's
shoplifting.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so the line I remember is when Homer comes back after being thrown out. When Marge says, "You don't even know why you're apologizing." Yes, I do. I'm hungry.
I have the clip, I believe.
Okay. Awesome.
Come on, Marge. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Homer, you don't even know why you're apologizing.
Yes, I do. Because I'm hungry. My clothes are smelly and I'm tired.
I've been thinking, Homer. And you know what bothers me the most about this whole thing? You taught Bart a very bad lesson. Your boy idolizes you.
Oh, he does not.
Yes, he does, Homer. And when he sees you treating women as objects, he's going to think that it's okay. You owe your son better than that, Homer.
So what should I do, Marge?
Well, I think you should take Bart to meet this exotic belly person.
No,
I want him to see that she's a real human being with real thoughts and real feelings. I want Bart to see you apologize for the way you treated her.
Okay, your wish is my command, my little...
Do it!
I love it.
I'm glad this episode taught a generation of kids not to objectify women, and it fixed our whole generation.
It never happened again, but... Nope. I wonder if... Do you guys think that Marge might be overreacting to this? Like, Homer was dancing with the belly dancer within the context of a bachelor party.
Oh, no, like...
He wasn't even touching her.
I've gone to several bachelor parties now where the fiancé is, like, mm-hmm. practically picking out the strippers. It's almost like this cute rite of passage that is somehow accepted.
I think it is that our generation was more of the acceptance of, like... But yeah, we do this. And also the women now will have...
Yeah.
They might have more crazier bachelorette's parties, too, which maybe wasn't the case
back then. I think
women
are a little cooler with it, I think, because it's more quaint. And it's not something we do anymore. As men.
What, hire strippers in general?
Yeah, like,
I guess not.
We go to Dave and Buster's.
Yeah, we go to PAX.
We have digital playthings.
But I don't, like I've seen a ton of strip clubs just, like, completely closed because it's a really antiquated notion of going to, like, yell at a naked woman is not something I think our generation does in the same volume that the previous generation
it's
did.
It's like, if you wanted to see a naked woman, that's where you would have to go.
Yes.
But now it's just like, what's going on
literally behind a closed door.
So yeah. I also thought that line that Marge says of you didn't even know why you're apologizing, mm-hmm. and also the word she says when she hands Homer the tissue box, if you'll need these, I know I will.
Yeah.
Those are both such James Brooks lines. Like, they feel totally like a James Brooks.
Yeah, what happens is Homer has this picture taken of him dancing with a stripper. It goes viral in a very 1990 kind of way without the internet, simply by, like, what, literally bulletin boards and people photocopying it.
You think after so many generations you couldn't recognize him anymore, like after so many copies.
So I will say, I still think Princess Cashmere, mm-hmm. that... She has jobs that are both showgirl and stripper, but I feel she was hired in showgirl capacity, not stripper capacity that night. I don't think she ever took her top off in there, and probably because the Rusty Barnacle would say, no, she can't get naked here.
Well, see, part of the joke to the viral image is that Homer's a huge fat dude, and his shirt's lifted up, and it's hilarious. He's the butt of the joke of the picture, right?
Yeah,
that's why Marge sees it, because the women are laughing at it, because there's an arrow pointing at it that says, like,
more weeks till bikini season.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know. I feel it was a company party, so they wouldn't have gone that far. I mean, I've been to company parties with pole dancers for when I worked for companies that had money, and there was no nudity involved. It was just like, here's a woman that's attractive.
I do feel in a pre-sexual harassment 1990.
That is true. Yeah,
I think they would have I think at some private parties they would have a stripper.
That is true.
Naked. But there's another couple things too that I thought was interesting that.
I want to know what happened to all of Bart's black friends.
Yeah.
Because he has several in this episode, and they're all gone now.
Yeah, well, also the references to Helmut Newton and Diane Arbus, I certainly didn't get those as a kid.
I don't get it now.
I know those are names of famous
I know Diane Arbus, I don't know Helmut Newton that well.
And also that Bart doesn't even feel a little guilty. Like, not even a tiny bit guilty of embarrassing his dad.
Like, and he doesn't get in trouble or anything that.
Once Homer comes back, it's about teaching Bart a lesson to respect women, not like, oh, also don't humiliate your family and share this thing.
I don't think Bart ever, that was ever a problem that he didn't respect women. He just thought it was a funny, like instance that was happening in front of him.
It's like when you get a camera, you're taking, like, if you get your first camera as a kid, you take a picture of everything.
Yeah. They mentioned that on the commentary, too, that Bart's risque or embarrassing photo of his family is like Marge shaving her armpits and Bart Homer being shirtless when they joke on the commentary, like, it was a different time.
I don't know. If any of you assholes take a picture of me shirtless, I'll be so fucking upset with you. Like, seriously.
I've seen some pictures of you on Facebook, Chris, that are beyond shirtless.
Which one's that? The Terminator picture?
You're behind someone's chair.
Talgenic chair picture.
I got to show you my awesome Zelda picture.
I wanted to talk about Barney's apartment.
Oh, shit. I got a clip.
Okay.
So great.
If you get hungry in the middle of the night, there's an open beer in the fridge. Look, Barney, see the row of tiny lights up there?
This is my favorite
line. The middle
one
is my house. Someone must have left the porch light on. Hey, that's rough, pal. Hello, Marge. You left your damn porch light on.
Barney!
Homer's not made of money, you know.
By the way, outdoors, there is a siren going off in sync with the siren.
Yeah, I was
episode.
Wow, that was a really loud siren in this show.
I am really good at my job. but what I also love about it, Barney has a completely wrong fucking burp.
Yeah.
Homer, you're overwrought. Why don't you unwind a little bit? Party down in the hall. You know, this apartment complex caters to upscale young singles like me.
Yeah.
Before they had the stock belch they use for everybody.
That one belch, the perfect 1991 recorded belch. Not so great. Every character has it, right?
So I will say, my apartment sometimes is Barney's apartment in filth.
My older apartments have been that.
Yeah, well, when you live by yourself like Barney and I do, sometimes you do just fuck it. Everything.
Bob, you can't tell, but I've been making an effort to keep things a little cleaner around these parts. As nice as it can be when it's constantly filled with men. That really got to me because I did have just the idea that his pants are in his living room, like just a discarded pair of pants.
I like the details. I don't think any cartoon would go to such lengths to portray like filth in such detail. Like,
when I have one of those industrial spindles that he's using it as a table in college too.
Oh, by the way, I guess if Marge is 34, I'm closing in on Barney's age. It must be he was in high school with them too.
Oh man,
But Homer's basically punished the entire show for this one, which
it's kind of extreme.
It's extreme, including getting to his boss.
That's a pretty good scene.
In blue blazes, do you think you're doing, Simpson?
What do you mean, sir?
I mean this. A plant employee carrying on like an oversexed orangutan in heat. This is a family nuclear power plant, Simpson. Our research indicates that over 50% of our power is used by women. I will not have you offending my customers with your bawdy shenanigans.
It won't happen again, sir, I promise.
Well, I don't know.
The word offending also made me think somebody would say, this PC culture is ruining nuclear power.
Mr. Burns was the
mystery. I just fell in love with it. 50% of our power uses our women.
Well, that he needed research to
tell
him
that women use the nuclear power.
That's a great I do love
it
that
It is.
Line.
It is a light... A small joke.
By the way, Barney's house, apartment number 123, another CalArts reference.
Oh, wow.
They say that on the commentary. I'm not just pulling that out of my
It was Rich Moore who did this one, episode.
Yeah, who was a CalArts guy who I have met in person, which I've mentioned every time Rich Moore's name is said on there.
Every time someone talks about Wreck-It Ralph.
They also said on the commentary that they did go to strip clubs to research the
boys.
And what research?
I also did like I thought it was a funny conceit that to find Princess Cashmere to teach Bart a lesson, Homer is taking Bart to like 80 different strip clubs.
Yeah,
to,
the solution makes the problem worse. Yeah.
Oh, that's another of my favorite lines too. When they meet the one manager and Bart, he says he's taking Bart to teach him a lesson not to see women as objects. The strip club owner goes like, "That's a good idea." And then meanwhile, the next one goes like, "Oh, no, Springfield's number one swinger." Like, what, are you from 1973? Jeez. What the hell? Like,
Yeah, I do. I do. I love Homer's closing speech here. It's surprisingly progressive, given when the show is 1990.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have something to say to all the sons out there, to all the boys, to all the men, to all of us. It's about women and how they are not mere objects with curves that make us crazy. No, they are our wives. They are our daughters, our sisters, our grandmas, our aunts, our nieces and nephews. Well, not our nephews. They are our mothers. And you know something, folks? As ridiculous as this sounds, I would rather feel the sweet breath of my beautiful wife on the back of my neck as I sleep than stuff dollar bills into some stranger's G-string.
As ridiculous as that sounds.
My wife is the cutest little thing.
Love the terrible crowd reaction.
Yeah.
This makes me... I realize I miss my wife after this person interrupts the burlesque.
Also, by the way, Burns and Smithers are on a double date with twins. Unless they're just drawn the
I
same.
I forgot about
have
that
we
part.
Not seen any mentions of Smithers'
Well, no, he said the feeling's more than mutual in Telltale Head.
Okay.
So
I think then he was just a Burns sexual.
Yeah, it was just a Burns sexual. And, well, you could still read it as Burns for Smithers on a double date.
Yeah.
Like, That's all it was. I had a few more notes just for the end here. One, that Princess Kashmir seems to be unaware. She seems to be the only person that doesn't know
that
photo
doesn't care
famous.
It's happening.
Well, that she didn't have any idea of the photo.
It's probably good PR for her.
And then also, she tries to kill Homer. Like, Homer's hanging for that. She's like, I'm going to get fired. And she's stepping on his hands.
They're like 50 feet in the air.
And that has to be Homer's most injurious fall to date. He falls more at the end of the... when he gets his job back at the power plant in that bad episode.
Homer's Odyssey, right.
But he's caught by the audience, so he's not hurt. This is him falling and being hurt and then getting back up.
Giving a speech.
He falls in the next episode, but there are definite non-cartoonish repercussions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is a song in this episode, and it's the first of probably like five instances of Homer being too stupid to follow along to a song.
I did like that joke.
It's happened with this, the monorail song, Who Needs the Quickie Mart. I'm sure there's other instances, too, where
You're
Homer
right.
just gets something wrong, or he picks up on a verse too late. Yeah.
That is a running gag. I never noticed.
Yep. What was the song? I forgot.
Every girl, everyone's twin.
It's a very Robert Goulet style thing. It's like we just had Robert Goulet Destroyer.
But it's Sam McMurray doing a good job singing.
Oh, that's Sam McMurray. Okay,
that
He's also the... Yes, he's the guy in the...
It's his biggest part ever.
MC.
And yeah, he's like...
It's the party was born to play, baby.
I didn't know what a Finn was as a kid either. That would mean someone from Finland.
It means a $5 bill, right?
Well, I mean, that character is totally from the Rat Pack era. Like which, though, not that those people don't exist and are still MCs at burlesque shows.
My problem with this episode... It's crazy. It's two episodes in a row that deal with, like, infidelity of a spouse, sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of. We're trying to get to the bottom of how did Marge see this? Did it just embarrass her, or is she mad at Homer?
Did she see it as on the level of cheating?
Yeah,
to do that? like I don't know. And her throwing him out. If we're taking this as straight continuity, is Marge thinking like, why didn't I fuck Jock? Like, screw this.
Yeah,
did she give Jock a call that night?
I'm out of here. Bart, go to your room.
I'm out of here.
Look, Marge, honey. Baby?
Homer?
Doll?
I don't even want to look at you right now.
What are you saying, honey? But where will I sleep?
My suggestion is for you to sleep in the filth you created.
Would a motel be okay?
So what? I'm usually on Marge's side here, but I'm like, being a bit of a prude.
A little bit.
Well, this is 1990.
Your husband dance
culture's a little different.
I know, but I want to side with Marge here, but your husband dance fully clothed with a stripper at a bachelor party.
At a bachelor, like, this isn't... If this had been just the two of them in a room, if this was a private dance, I could even see that.
Yes.
But he was surrounded by his friends. It's not like he was going to get a blowjob.
He's the life of the party.
It was a private party, too.
Yeah.
And he apologized. Marge, you need to relax.
So,
do you have any idea what you just did? What you just did?
I guess technically,
no
Princess Kashmir and Female Carrier have appeared in later episodes. They are technically running characters. Princess Kashmir is fucking Apu in the episode where Homer works. At least he gets a pony.
That's right,
And then meanwhile, the female character, Carrier, the only other time
she's
I remember her...
She's even name-checked, isn't she?
She says, are you watering the mail? Well, you already probably know my name and stuff, so I can't even run away, right?
I forgot she was in that one.
That was her. I feel like I've never seen her again. I have they ever had reason to have a recurring mailman give them mail? Like
that's
purposes?
One profession. It's weird they don't have a recurring character for.
I think now if they'd have it, it'd just be Gil.
Yeah,
like, just Gil has this job for this episode.
God, I gotta get the mail. I fucking love. God damn it, I love Gil.
I do enjoy Gil, but I feel like they just overuse Gil because like, well, who should be in this spot? In the past, it would have been, well, this could be Troy McClure. It could be Lionel Hutz. It could be not voiced by a dead.
The Charles Bronson guy.
Supposed to be Gene the Machine from Glengarry Glen Ross. The sad Jack Lemmon. I love both of those characters so much. Oh, my hot plate.
We will see him in 8 years.
Yeah, we're a far away.
I think Gil is the latter day, in my field of The Simpsons, the latter day character I like the most. Mm-hmm. Who was introduced the late? The character was introduced the latest that I like the most.
He's like a Lionel Hutz without the bravado. He's as much of a loser, but he understands he is.
And I brought this wall from home.
It's funny that one of his first appearance is in one of Phil Hartman's final episodes.
Oh,
to final. Not final, but close to. Red Blazer Realty episode is one of his close to last appearances.
But you can hear us talk about that in 2018, probably, I'm guessing.
That's
maybe 2017.
Yeah, that's a
who knows?
Liberal.
Maybe we'll make another Patreon tier for doing this. No,
I'm two times a week.
I'm so tired. Oh God,
I don't want to overlap The Simpsons.
I think this is an okay episode. It's it's better. I mean, if everything is like, is it better than Bart the General? Yes. Okay, cool. Then this.
I just think it needed a B plot. There wasn't
more
a whole lot going on.
More taking pictures of your own butt. Like, I thought that was. I didn't even know you could do that till this episode.
Yeah. I definitely feel like even in season two they would have said this needs a B plot.
Yeah.
Something even in the previous episode we did, there was at least the sort of B plot of Homer's feelings and Bart and Lisa dealing with it. That at least gave you something to do that wasn't just Marge's story.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one. I feel bad now that this show taught me to not objectify women. I mean, she said her name, but I don't remember Princess Cashmere's real name.
Oh boy.
She said what
she goes
real
by
name
several
was.
Names, but I forget what her real name is.
Yeah, and that song was stuck in my head for a long time.
Yeah, it stuck in my head again. So I guess that's it for this episode of Talking Simpsons. Just to let you guys know, I'm on Twitter as Bob Servo. Find my other stuff on Retronauts.com. I do a classic gaming podcast. It's awesome. And I'm on LaserTime occasionally, and you give money to us, so thank you.
Yes, thank
anybody
you
else want
much.
To say who you are and where you
know? Panteast on Twitter, I love you.
Yeah, HENEREYG.
Thanks, folks. We'll see you next time for a brand new Talking Simpsons. Love ya.